Today, I thought we would cover two topics. First, to briefly talk about premillennialism, and then two verses that destroy the false teaching of premillennialism. And then we'll have a third passage to look at that correctly teaches what will happen instead of what the premillennialists teach. On the premillennialism, this is the first time I'd ever heard of this. Dad had to write a paper when he was going to the Brown Trail School of Preaching. And anyway, he wrote this paper back in the 60s, 65, or a little after 65. And anyway, he would tell us he could always pronounce, and he'd talk about premillennialism. But I asked him what that meant, and he said he didn't even remember what it meant. But he would just mention premillennialism. But he'd forgotten what it means. And somewhat recently, we were talking to a young preacher, and I asked him about premillennialism, and he said that he had forgotten also what it meant. So, anyway, what premillennialism is, it's a false teaching that, you know, we know that Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he taught that he was coming to establish his kingdom. Okay, the false teaching of premillennialism is that Jesus failed in that, and he did not establish his kingdom. And he's going to do that sometime future to us even. So he didn't establish it in the first century, and sometime in the future is he's going to establish his kingdom. And it's also contrary to what Jesus taught, that he's going to establish an earthly kingdom. And then he's going to reign in Jerusalem in this temple that would have to get rebuilt for 1,000 years. So that's where the millennium part comes from, the 1,000 years. And we are before that 1,000 years of Jesus reigning in earthly kingdom here on earth. That's the false teaching. So there are two verses that destroy that concept that tell us that Jesus cannot come to earth. If he did, he would have to relinquish his high priesthood. And then there's another passage that we will look at that says that he is going to be high priest forever. So, if Jesus is going to be high priest forever, that means he cannot come to earth. Why is that? Because Jesus was of the tribe of Judah, and the priests were only from the Levites. So, since Jesus was not a Levite, if he came back to earth, he would have to relinquish his high priesthood. But we know the Holy Spirit has told us that he's going to be high priest forever. So putting those two together proves and shows that Jesus can never step foot back on earth. And then we'll look at a third passage that correctly shows what Jesus will do instead. But the first passage we'll look at is Hebrews 8:4. And both of these passages that disprove premillennialism are in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 8:4, "For if Jesus were on earth, he would not be high priest, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law." And this is according to the law of Moses, that only the Levites would be the priest. And since Jesus was from the tribe of Judah, if he was here on earth, he would not be able to be a high priest. And then, back two chapters to Hebrews 6, verse 20. Says, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And so, Jesus is going to be high priest forever, and which means he cannot come back to earth. Because he would not be, since he's not a Levite, he would not be able to be a high priest. And so, as a result, Jesus is not of high priest according to an earthly lineage, but what this the Holy Spirit says to this Hebrew writer is that he is going to be, that he is high priest from the order of Melchizedek, which goes back to who was Melchizedek. He was a man, a king that Abraham found, ran into after he left Ur of the Chaldees, which is now modern day Iraq, and he traveled west, what is today the Arabian Desert. But this was so close, a few hundred years after the flood, I'm figuring it probably was not a desert at that time. That desert has just gradually come in the 4,000 years after the flood. But he was soon, Abraham was just a few hundred years after that flood. It probably was not the desolate desert that it is today. That is a brutal place to cross. So it probably wasn't that bad of a journey, but it is in the neighborhood of 500 miles. 500-600 miles is what he traveled west, came to this new land of Canaan, and he ran into this king, Melchizedek, and Abraham paid tribute to him. And so, but Abraham did not know the lineage of Melchizedek. He didn't know where he came from. He was just king when he showed up, and he paid tribute to him. And so this is what the Holy Spirit describes, that Jesus is not high priest according to a lineage, because he's not a Levite, but it would be as Abraham recognized Melchizedek as being high priest or king and a due of honor. So, any questions on this about Jesus not being able to step foot back on earth, and he cannot reign on earth for any amount of time? He would have to relinquish his high priesthood, and he's going to be high priest forever. Yes?
Probably the most important point is your first one that you made. If millennialism is correct, then God is ignorant, God is not all powerful, and sending Jesus down here to earth was a mistake, and it depends on people, the Jews, to accomplish what God wanted, and the Jews were not willing, so God was, the people were more influential than God. And the second part, right along that, they keep saying, well, it's getting ready to happen, it's getting ready to happen. I hear that constantly. Well, it's worse now, as far as the Jews accepting Jesus. It's worse now than it was in the first century. And which means if he comes back again, then God will make a second big mistake. So but they don't want to talk about that.
Right.
But that is the foundation for that whole thing.
And the whole thing, whole teaching that Jesus is going to have an earthly kingdom was never taught by Jesus himself. Now, during their day, the Jews had this misconception. Even his own apostles, even though Jesus had taught it over and over, they had trouble. They'd been so indoctrinated or brainwashed that the Messiah was going to establish an earthly kingdom and a military kingdom that they could, it was very difficult for even the apostles to get it out of their head, and they never got it out of their head until the Holy Spirit fell upon them. So that's what it ultimately took. And but Jesus made it very plain multiple times, but one of the more glaring times that he made it known that he was not going to establish an earthly kingdom, but is going to be a heavenly kingdom, is whenever Jesus was on trial before Pilate. And he told him, Jesus told Pilate that my kingdom is not of this world. And if it were, my servants would fight. We would have had a battle. I wouldn't have given myself up so easily. You know, we would have fought viciously to keep me from being here before you. But he said, my kingdom is from heaven, it's not from earth. Yes.
If he came here to set up an earthly kingdom, it was laid out for him when he rode in. Had they put all the branches, olive branches down the front? That's the acceptance of the kingdom.
Yes. And that's why we went over this chart about the parallels of the Passover. That's when they were acknowledging during the triumphal entry on that, what is now known as Palm Sunday. And they acknowledged that Jesus was their king, their Messiah. And then, of course, we know God's kingdom was established, and it was on the day of Pentecost, about 50 days, a little over 50 days, 52 or 3 days after Jesus was crucified on the day of Pentecost. It's covered in Acts 2. So that's when it was God's heavenly kingdom was established, and not some future day to us. What goes along with this false teaching is the denominations now have taken the place, and I've heard people even say this, since God and Jesus failed in establishing their kingdom, earthly kingdom that Jesus came to do from their point of view, then since he failed at that, well now, these denominations have all sprung up to take that place, to be a placeholder until Jesus is able to come to earth and do what he promised 2,000 years ago that he would do. Which, it's a, as Glenn mentioned, it's a complete denial of God is what this is. Very similar to people who deny the creation account. They are calling God a liar by denying the Genesis 1 account, when God said he created all of the earth and all of creation in the 6 days. People said, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. He didn't do it. It took billions of years of formation, and it was no creation, no spoken word. Well, calling God a liar. It's the same thing here, by denying that God's kingdom has been in existence for 2,000 years, is calling God a liar. Yes?
Now, just a side note, at the end of the century, I guess it would have been the end of 1889, beginning of 1900, in a college in Kansas, the professor said, y'all go home and study these verses, and he gave it to him as homework. He said, when we come back, we'll be in a new century.
Yeah, it's a tongue twister, premillennialism.
And that's where it started, was in Kansas at a college at the very beginning of 1900.
Really? Well, I did not know that, but I was glad to hear about that.
I got that from reading their books.
Okay.
Verse 18, it says, it is impossible for God to lie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That is good, which we covered that verse whenever we cover this study of Genesis 1, the creation account. God is not the liar, and he would be lying if, you know, both of these two things. If God did not create all of creation in 6 days, then God is a liar. And if Jesus did not establish his heavenly kingdom, then he would be a liar too. But God is not a liar. Who's the father of lies? Satan. So who's behind these false teachings? Satan is behind them. That's the bottom line. And this is a very, obviously, a very effective way. I've been disappointed and surprised and horrified. Essentially, every denomination that I've run into, that I've talked to, that I've heard on the internet or TV, seems like they're all premillennialist. I have not run across a denomination that is not premillennialist. And even worse, in somewhat recent years, we've run into members of the Church of Christ, and they are premillennialist too.
Yeah, we've run across that in the North, and
also
Yeah. Well, you know, when you don't have accurate biblical teaching, whenever God's word is not rightly divided, then guess what? You're going to get misteaching, you're going to get misunderstood, you're going to get false teaching that creeps in. And that's a problem, because there are so many weak-minded, untaught people that think they are Christians. But what did Jesus say? On the day of judgment, he's going to say to these people, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." And these people thought that they were doing lots of good deeds in God's name. No, you've been a worker of wickedness, sinfulness. And he never knew them. Soon. Soon. First three verses.
Yeah.
Mentions it, yeah, two or three times. These things are to quickly come to pass, soon to come to pass. And then at the end of the book of Revelation, keep the book open, for the time is at hand.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at that next week or the week after. I plan to go over what I call this is a contrast of the book of Revelation versus Daniel. We'll see what Daniel talks about, and it's dead opposite of what the book of Revelation says front and end, which is keep the book open. Daniel says, shut the book up. The time is not at hand. It's going to be a long time away. Well, how long? What was it that Daniel prophesied about? The coming Messiah and his kingdom. Well, when did that come? Some 600 years after his time. 500 to 600 years. That was a long, long, long time. So, whichever in the book of Revelation, whatever time frame, it was much less than 500 or 600 years. And in fact, it was just exactly like it was saying. It was happening just right then in their time. Yes?
There's a passage there in Revelation that says, don't worry about the sinner. Don't worry about the...
Don't
try to convert them. Because you don't have enough time.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And that's an unusual passage. If you're going to say you've got
2,000 years. Yes, right. Yeah.
That's enough time to...
Yes. Yes. Well, I tell you what, any other, these are great comments, questions. Any other comments or questions? What we'll do for our second part, we will cover 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the last part of it, and see what the Holy Spirit says about Jesus's second coming, and instead of him being on earth, how it describes it.